and other cyber threats before they strike.
WMNF 88.5 FM. This is Radioactivity Hour with your host, Nola. That's Super Nola. Yes, I almost said midpoint. And coming up on midpoint, I will be hosting that today. So I'm performing double duty today. So for the first time, I'll be standing in for the hour Radioactivity Hour this morning. This is WMNF 88.5 FM. Please, maybe hopefully you downloaded the free WMNF app so that way you can listen to us on the go. Coming up later in the program, we are going to be talking about immigration. I have a special guest coming in. He's running a few minutes behind us, Gianfranco Melendez. So immigration attorney is going to be here talking about the state of immigration in the country, parts of citizenship, DACA, and everything else. We're going to go over that. So it's going to be a fun hour right here on WMNF 88.5 FM. Yes, I will be hosting Midpoint on Wednesdays, just as usual, in the next coming hour. And also, I encourage you to join the conversation, anything you want to add, especially out right now in the news. And the phone number is 813-239-9663. You can send me a text at 813-433-0885. Or you send me an email during this broadcast to dj@wmnf.org. So while we're waiting for the special guest for the day, we might as well just jump into some of the things happening in the news of the day today. So it's been reported out there that Joe Biden might his favorite in running for president of the United States, jumping into the pool of Democratic candidates for 2020. So what are your thoughts about that? I have some mixed feelings about that, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are about that. So feel free to join in at 813-239-9663. Right now, I think I don't have a phone engineer right now, so you might want to text 813-433-0885 or send me an email during the broadcast to dj@wmnf.org. And I'll be picking up phone calls from the station. So inside the studio, so I would ask you for your name and where you're coming from, since I don't have that coming on right now. So I have a phone call right now. Phone call's coming in. Well, I guess I dropped that, so don't worry about it. This is WMNF 88.5 FM Radioactivity Hour with your host, Super Nola. Super Nola's actually just standing in for today because Sean Canan is on vacation. But so, Joe Biden, what are your thoughts about that? Joe Biden, the former vice president to Barack Obama's administration, might be running jumping into the pool. And according to the polls, if you believe the polls any at all, he's probably favored to actually win the whole thing. But in this election cycle where we have the far left dominating the primaries, it seems like the wave of the far left is actually dominating the primaries, and Joe Biden is seen as a moderate Democrat. What are your thoughts about that? I have mixed feelings about that, because Joe Biden has been, he's, whether you like Joe Biden or not, he represents the politics of old of some sort. He's probably going to be one of the oldest candidates for president in a long time. He represents the politics of old, and it just seems like we need a fresh face. What are your thoughts about that? And the same can be said for Bernie Sanders. I mean, because Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden are probably the leaders of that poll because of the movement that they have and the fact that, you know what, they appeal to the Midwest. And a lot is going to be said about the Midwest when we talk about Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Illinois, and much more. Ohio. What are your thoughts about that? I'm curious to know what your thoughts about that. So anyway, so news broke yesterday. Well, something we've always suspected is a bunch of rich folks out there, and I'm just going to keep it simple, have been paying universities and colleges, Ivy League colleges, for their kids to go to college. Now, I know fully well, I'm on Twitter. A lot of times, sometimes I engage on Twitter with on social media, and we talk a little bit about some of the things, and I chuckled a little bit, and the fact that it's about time. And I have a son right now who's in final year of high school. So I believe he got 1400 in a SAT. So he's expecting some college letters in the mail. So I am that parent that can identify with, you know, kids anticipating college admissions and stuff. But when you find a situation where it's confirmed, where you have a bunch of these privileged people right here in our society, whether Democrats or Republicans, it really doesn't matter, will go through lengths paying as much as $500,000 for college admissions. And if you're on social media, I mean, the people that I've actually talked to on social media, and their questions are, why would you pay so much to pay for your kids to go to college? I mean, at that rate, you might as well just start a business for them. Well, it's not that simple. I'll tell you this. If you go to, let's say, University of USC, Southern California, right? Or you go to maybe University of South Carolina. Or let's just say one of those Ivy League schools like Yale, Columbia, or Harvard and stuff, right? What you're really paying for, I think, is pretty much the alumni, the network. The fact that you're going to be in the company are some of the leaders of tomorrow, right? You get to go to school, make friends, form a camaraderie with people like who? Barack Obama, you know, leaders of tomorrow, company CEOs, you know, future Supreme Court justices, things like that. Now, for those who've always made the argument, like, you know what, if you work hard, if you study hard, if you pull yourself from the bootstraps, I wonder what they have to say now. Because we all know on the ground that some of these things happen. Now, aside from the fact that there are tons of people who have been grandfathered in, you know, those legacy admissions where, oh, yeah, my grandfather went to this college, so you know what, I should go to this college, or my father went to this college, or my mother went to this college, so I should go to this college. Aside from those, which poor people, especially black and brown people in this country, don't have the privilege of having to go to those kind of schools, because, I mean, generations, and we know fully well the civil rights history of this country. But anyway, so it's pretty interesting. And I think I talked to one of social media yesterday. I'm like, do you really think? Now, this is hypothetical. I don't have absolute proof on it, but I'm willing to bet. Do you really think George W. Bush was brilliant enough to get into Yale? Really? Do you really think George W. Bush was brilliant enough to go into Yale? Or do you really think the current president? Now, this is hypothetical. I mean, there's an absolute proof out there. But we could also throw it out there using common sense, right? Now, the man who's probably run every business to the ground. How do you bankrupt a casino? The current president of the United States, Donald Trump. How really do you bankrupt a casino? It's literally meant for people to bring their money and lose it at your establishment. Donald Trump graduated from Wharton School of Finance. Think about that. Wharton is a big, 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 I mean, very prestigious school. How do you get in there? I don't know. There was a report out there that his father made a donation. But anyway. So these things happen. And then you have the Department of Education trying so hard to defund various schools all across the country. Then you have those rich people taking a spot of the school, the spot that could be occupied by your kids. And other brilliant kids all across the country. Because they have the means to do it. That is so bothersome. Pretty bothersome. Curious to know what your thoughts about that. Email me. Send me an email. dj@wmnf.org. Or send me a text message. 813-433-0885. Coming up later in the program, we're going to have a special guest here, Gianfranco Melendez. Immigration attorney is going to be here talking about immigration. We're going to be talking about DACA. We're going to be talking about parts of citizenship. He's going to cover a whole array of questions. I mean, like, you're going to have a chance to talk to him. He's very well versed when it comes to this. And what is the state of immigration in the United States from what we currently hear from the current administration? Let's get the phone lines now. Good morning. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Michelle in Tampa.
Hey, Michelle. Good morning, Michelle. Welcome.
Hey, I would like to talk about politics, but not necessarily politics.
Please.
In the United States, more so like local politics within the 88.5 station.
Oh, whoa. And local politics within 88.5?
Yes, within the radio station itself, the politics within the radio station itself. Reason being is because I've been listening since Rob has been let go. Okay. And I'm very surprised that not a lot of people are reaching out and voicing more so during the shows that they're disappointed and really losing a lot of faith in the decision.
I will say this. This is an internal matter that they take very seriously. And I think right now, from what I understand, is there's an appeal process in process right now. So either way, I mean, I am pretty confident. Just personally, I'm pretty confident that the right decision is going to be made. But I do not have any more information to talk about what's actually going on. See what
right.
I mean?
Talking about the listeners. All of us listeners that have listened to Radioactivity for years support this. The station financially. I'm really surprised that people are just kind of, it seems, sweeping it under the rug. Like,
I don't think. Right.
I'm just saying, I just was thinking that more people would kind of call in and still, even during the appeals process, still voice their opinion so that people that are in the position to hear us and make those choices can understand that we're not forgetting about this.
Oh no, I can assure you that's not the case. Yeah.
From the position of I listen to a lot of shows on 88.5 and I don't hear the support for Rob in the calls that come in to each show. It's kind of like nobody wants to talk about it. And I'm saying that I'm still bringing it up and I'm still letting people know that I feel that he should be brought back. And I know that there's a process going on, but I'm not going to be scared to bring it up because it might offend somebody.
No, that's not the case. I think, I mean, for right now, it's not on air on this program right now. It's not the the appropriate place to actually talk about this. I think that there's a lot of that going on social media, on the social media boards, and there's you could actually write your emails to the board. I think that's there's an email
right,
that
I said, yeah,
okay. So like I could tell you that like there's that going on, but at the same time I can't do that because number one I don't have the right information, you know, to actually tell you. If I tell you something, it's probably going to be wrong because I don't know what's going on. But I'm also confident that the right decision is going to be made, you know, at the end of the day.
I hope so. And to the listeners, I just want to hear more of your voices still.
Okay, so you advocate people to talk about, hijack my program and talk about this, which is not something I'm not looking forward to.
I mean, if we can't talk about this here, then, you know, I mean, it's not just a social media situation. This radio station has people call in to talk about what they want to talk about because we support this radio station. It's a community radio station.
Okay.
And so I just don't want people to forget and keep calling in and talking about it because it's very important and doesn't need to be just talked about on social media.
All right. Thank you very much.
You.
I do appreciate you. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Let's get back to the phone lines right now. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, man. This is Mark McKinney.
What's up? What's going on?
Here is the deal. I went to AutoZone just yesterday.
Yeah.
Because the people, I'm pretty well known, knows me as Mark the Mechanic.
Okay.
And the one guy goes, Mark the Mechanic. He goes, I heard you on the radio the other day. And then he got off onto the discussion of Rob Roy. Now, just what in the hell is going on with that guy? Because he's been there forevermore, and I am 100% supportive.
Look. Just like I told the previous caller, there's an appeal process going on right now. I am not in the know when it comes to exactly what's actually going on. So we just got to wait and see. How about that? I think.
The guy that got cancer, he's not doing too good, is he?
I'm sorry? Oh, no. Scott Elliott is back.
Or he's real ill right now. Is he still even alive? Because I called him and I have a hydrogen water maker and he can have all the hydrogen water that he wants for nothing.
All right. But like I said, so we're not talking about what we're talking about today, right? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, well, this is
all right. But I appreciate you, Joe. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you. Let's go to phone lines again. Let's go to, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Steven at St. Pete.
What's up, Steven? What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to let you know, I agree with that lady 100%. Rob Lori is WMNF.
Oh, God.
End of story.
I don't think that's the debate. There's no debate about that. And why are you debating me, though? Again. Like, I mean, I'm trying to have a show about something totally different here.
I did want to mention about...
Right.
I could give you 1,000 reasons why Joe Biden should not be president.
Yeah, let's talk about
that. A few. Here's the issue. The DNC, and if Joe Biden runs, is to throw a monkey wrench in what the country needs.
Right.
We need Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders needs to be president of the United States. Bernie Sanders is considered such a radical and such a crazy socialist because he believes in FDRism. He believes what LBJ did. He is the only true Democrat that we have in the choice. Now, a lot of these people that are trying to get on the Bernie bandwagon and talking about national health care, higher minimum wage, free college tuition, and what happened yesterday in the news proves that we should have free college tuition. But Joe Biden is a friend of Wall Street. Joe Biden loves the credit card companies. Joe Biden is the old dog.
Senator from Delaware, huh? Yep.
Yeah, he's the old guard Reagan Democrat. And Joe Biden, if Joe Biden runs and somehow gets the nomination, you got 4 more years of Donald Trump.
Do you think it'll be easier for someone like Joe Biden to beat President Trump? Compared to Bernie Sanders? Because, like, you see, we have a confluence of issues actually happening globally right now. Because if you listen to a broadcast yesterday, I think, and they were talking about the issues and some of the things that's happening in Venezuela, right? And Venezuela, you see, like, the Trump administration is trying to overthrow Maduro in Venezuela and touting that, you know, that failure of socialism that's happening in Venezuela. And I have a feeling they're going to try to paint a picture like, you know, someone like Bernie Sanders is just a socialist who's going to try to turn the United States into Venezuela. And I'm not sure that's not going to be effective enough to actually win.
The whole thing, you got to change the narrative of what Bernie Sanders is. Mm-hmm. You got to remind the voters and remind the people that Bernie Sanders believes like FDR did and Harry Truman, okay? Now, FDR was called a socialist. So was Harry Truman. So was John F. Kennedy.
I think the difference is the climate back then and the climate right now is totally different. And the fact that we have a state-run news network that actually appeals to that side of the base. And all they have to do, because that base, their side of the base is already strong. We have a debate on where the Democrats are going to go, whether it's going to be the Bernie wing or the Joe Biden wing or anything like that. But on that side, I think it's pretty solid because President Trump has a 90% approval rating when it comes to in the Republican Party. But all they need is just to peel off a few independents, right? Well, and that's all they need.
The issue that we need to educate them is have everybody look up the word socialism. The United States is still one of the most socialistic countries in the world.
You know, that's
our school system, our K-12, which should be K-20. Then if you go to the national parks, if you call the police station, if you call the fire department, if you go to the library, if you use public transportation on the subway in New York City or some of the big cities,
right.
If you go to Gettysburg National Civil War Park, these are things where we all collectively pay taxes so everybody sociably can benefit. That's what socialism is. A country cannot exist without a socialism base of its structure and how it functions as a state or a country. It's real simple. So we need to educate people. Most people think when it
comes to socialism, we've done this for decades,
they think of a wall and Russian hats with red stars and machine guns.
You know, haven't we done this for decades in which, like, the fact that you illustrated eloquently what you just said, we've said this over and over again, defined socialism for everybody, and look at some of the programs that we actually have that exist that actually follow that model. But for some reason, it still doesn't resonate, and it's easy to actually run a political campaign against it. And it just seems like a losing battle, because if that was the case, simply explaining what socialism is to people and seeing making them realize that they actually benefit from that system in some instances should be enough to actually quell the misinformation that comes from the other side. But it doesn't work. It never works. It just seems like, I mean, whether you talk about, like, even Reagan, that actually railed against, like, Medicare back in the 70s or 60s, ended up being president for two terms. It just never works, you know. So it just seems like, oh, that's a losing battle, trying to educate people, because at the base of it, I feel like these people know, enough people know, that could change an electorate, or change a vote, or change the presidency of this country. But for some reason, it just feels like a losing battle.
Well, here's the thing, where history could repeat itself in a good way. Mm-hmm. Is all I know is this. If you go back to Eisenhower, mm-hmm. who in his heart was a Democrat, but the Republicans put him in there because he beat Adlai Stevenson. The tax rate on the 1%, was 70%, okay? Mm-hmm. Under Eisenhower, you had one of the biggest infrastructure programs in the history of the United States, with the highway system and the road systems being rebuilt in this country, okay? And if you look at history repeating itself, the theme for Bernie Sanders, who I believe in a general election would clobber Trump, and it would be one of the biggest landslides in the history of the United States. People would, in droves, would get out and vote if Bernie Sanders runs. But my point is they need to, the people need to be told that we could bring back this era of a higher tax on the 1%. We could bring back the era where the Democratic Party stands for unions, stands right. for women's rights, maternal care for women, higher wages for employees, better civil rights, to be the party that it was. And you look at it historically from 1932 when FDR comes to power, when LBJ. If it wasn't for Vietnam, LBJ's head should be on Mount Rushmore.
Right.
I mean, when he passed, and why people are alive today, when LBJ passed, when he was president of the United States, and passing some of the social programs in his war on poverty to help the working class and the working poor and children and women in this country. And I'm telling you, if Joe Biden or a blue dog moderate Democrat gets the nomination, ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States for four more years will be Donald J. Trump.
Interesting. I do appreciate that. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate you.
All right. God bless you.
See ya.
I know.
Yes. Yeah, it's a thought of the day right there. And the fact that, you know what? I mean, some people see Joe Biden as a general election strong candidate against Donald Trump. And I look at, okay, there's one thing, okay, one thing that a whole bunch of people actually failed to recognize is visually, what did they look like? For some reason, Americans have favored the taller candidate. I know that seems shallow. Image is everything. You could talk about Nixon versus JFK and the fact that, you know what, a whole bunch of people talk about the first debate. They talked about how, you know what, Nixon sounded more presidential, but JFK looked more presidential. So those that watch it on TV actually looked like they thought JFK won the debate. But those that actually listened thought Nixon did. And the fact that, you know what, visually, most Americans love the tall, strong, you know. And one thing I've always talked to people, I talk to people about is when President Trump actually gives interviews. When he gives interviews, when he sits out in interviews, he sits in a power position. And you know what? There are people actually listening to me right now because I work in the visual arts production. I work in photography. I work in videography. I study behind the lens. So I pay attention to those things. And the fact that he sits in a power position, he sits in such a way that, you know what, he looks like somebody who's in control. So visually, he just looks like somebody who's supposed to be in that office. Yeah, that's that. So when you look at it, when you think about a debate stage and you think about Donald Trump on one side and you think about Bernie Sanders on the other side, visually, do you think Americans would go for Bernie Sanders? I mean, like, you might think that might not have anything to do with it, but take a look back at some of the presidents that we've had. Take a look at it. Visually, think about Barack Obama and John McCain. John McCain had all the credentials in the world. Yeah, American hero. Visually, what did you see? In the vice presidential debate, when you had Sarah Palin versus Joe Biden, visually, what did you think? You know? Yeah, curious to know what you thought about that. 813-239-9663. And coming up in the program, we still have a guest is going to be here. So hopefully we'll be able to bleed that into the midpoint program coming up, because I'll be hosting that too. So stay tuned with that. 813-239-9663. You can send me a text, 813-433-0885. Send me an email just to broadcast to dj@wmnf.org. Let's get on phone lines right now. Let's go to what's your name? Where are you calling from? Hello?
Antonio from Lombo Key.
Hey, Lombo Key, that's in Sarasota, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Are you on you're not on vacation spring break, are you?
Nah, okay. Nah, just working, man, dropping off fish.
That's awesome, man. What's up?
Hey, well, a couple things.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention about the R. Kelly thing.
Oh, yeah, please, feel free.
You know, it's all over the media and all whatnot.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember 3 or 4 weeks ago that Democracy Now! did a report on the Miami Herald about the jail that was basically doing the same thing as R. Kelly did, but it's all swept under the rug.
Yeah, I believe
more connected.
I believe they're actually going to try to reopen that case. Because I thought about that. There's been a lot of discussions when it comes to that. Because there have been a lot of people, and we talked about that yesterday on the show, I mean, last week on my midpoint show, and the fact that, you know what, yes, a whole bunch of these people's scumbags, right? But there's a selective prosecution thing going on, right? And with the fact that a bunch of these people who have been exposed and not the prominent names, but it just seems like most of them are, like, you know, entertainers or black entertainers, whether you Bill Cosby or a new documentary that came out with Michael Jackson or R. Kelly. Now, so they're guilty, that's fine, you know, but let's talk more about people like, you know, Elvis Presley. If you want to talk about people, or, you know, Jerry Lewis, you know, Hugh Hefner, you know, and the list goes on and on. But yeah, so I agree with you on that when it comes to that. I appreciate you. But let's go to the phone lines again. Good morning. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Mark, Tampa.
Hey, what's up, Mark?
Hey, let me help you get back on track real quick.
Yeah, real quick.
the whole situation, a couple different things. Number one, so three topics that you brought up. One is the school situation where people are
paying for the kids, right?
Paying and getting ahead. Okay, so let's all face it. Nothing is new. This is not new. It's not new to Ivy League colleges, not new to private colleges. You know, to be frank, it's not even new to some public schools out there, to some of the sports stars or the kids that are trying to get up into the to pass so they can play football. So it's nothing new. It's just, I mean, it's coming to light a little bit more. The other thing is to mention about stature. You're behind the lens, see the stature of one president versus another president in a debate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got. I also would say this, the size of the person, yes, that does matter, but you got to remember the audience that's watching that program has changed. So if you saw a stature like a Trump and a Bernie, you'd have a stature of somebody who is large and bullying versus somebody.
But if that was the case, wouldn't that appeal to like the last time when we saw like President Trump and Hillary Clinton?
Well, no, because that's a different dynamic, because now we're talking genders.
Gender, okay.
So you have the dynamic of boy and boy bullying, boy and girl, and we have a gender people that can't deal with genders. Not to mention, there is the people that feel like they were hurt by what she did during things like Benghazi, yada yada. Not to say those things are true, not to say everything is true, but you know what I'm saying, there's different dynamics. So I agree with you to some point. And the last point to help you out is the whole Rob Lori thing. I think is at this point, community is about a community. It's not about one man, not about one woman or one person. So there's all these people. I know there's grief. There's a process, a repeal process. When everything happens, it happens however it's going to be. But you got to remember, this is a community. And I think Rob himself would say, it's not about just him. It's about our community. And if we lose sight of that, and we start being like, oh, I'm going to pull our money and change my listening tactics and try to overthrow, like you're trying to have a show on a topic, I think that's not a very healthy. And that's also why sometimes you get these people who are all for candidates. That candidate doesn't come into office and they're, oh, I'm not going to vote. I'm not going to be a part of this.
Well,
you know what? You got to think about community. You got to think about this radio station is more than one man and one woman. And you have to stay strong and focus on other things. And I understand that people are hurt, and there are, you know, he's, you know, been here since the beginning. But you know what? There's a lot of businesses, a lot of companies, a lot of things out there that change. You have to be able to adapt with change in a positive light, even if you don't agree with the circumstance.
So that's you make a good point. I do appreciate you for that, actually. Well, thank you very much. Great point, sir. Thank you. Yes, and I will say this one more time, and the fact that, you know what, there are people out here, like, they're wondering what's actually going on. There's a process going on. I will say this one last time. There's a process going on when it comes to that situation. And I am pretty confident. I am pretty confident that the right decision at the end of the day will be met. Now, yes. But at the same time, we all have things we have to take care of. I mean, I have my show. I don't have enough information. I'm not trying to be coy when it comes to that. I don't have enough information on what the process is. But I know there's a process, there's an appeal process that's actually going on the way it's supposed to. And I am pretty confident the right decision is going to be made. So, like, nothing, I mean, I think we know fully well who Rob Lori is when it comes to this community. So that's not mistaken when it comes to that. But at the same time, everything, the right process is going to take place. And I'm pretty confident the right decision will be made. So I'm not worried about that, honestly. But let's move on. Let's get back to the phone lines right now. Let's go to, what's your name and where you calling from? Hello?
Hey, no, it's Danny in Tampa.
What up, Danny? What's up?
Hey, right on. I agree with what you said there.
Right.
You know, why do the right wingers and the Fox people and the right wing Fox people and all the right wingers always bring up totalitarian countries when they talk about socialism and never bring up the Scandinavian countries
right.
in Europe and with no. success?
Because it doesn't help the argument. You know, it doesn't help the argument. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is the funny thing about it, right? Okay, now, not speaking for socialism or anything like that, but there is a distinction to be made, and I want people to think about the Affordable Care Act when they think about that.
Yeah.
The same party that actually responsible for starving their Affordable Care Act, trying to make it crumble, will sit back and tell you why it's ineffective. You know, they will starve their Affordable Care Act. They will try to block every model, you know, every system, every model that actually makes it function the right way.
Yep.
And then blame its ineffectiveness as a reason why nobody should. So, like, you think about places like Venezuela.
Yep.
Or places like, name a country that we have embargoes, we have sanctions against.
Yeah.
And then we blame the system of government and say, you know what, the system of government is ineffective because they adopt the system. No, you haven't even let them, you know, run the system effectively. Because you've actually stepped in every chance you get. You know? And this is what they do. I mean, you think, regardless of whatever you think about Venezuela, whatever the facts are,
right,
whatever you think about the leader, do you think I want to hear from Mike Pence about the truth about Venezuela? Do you think I want to hear about from Donald Trump about the truth about Venezuela?
Oh, yeah, right.
I mean, tell me a time when Mike Pence or Donald Trump have actually said something true in the past 2.5 years.
That take a lot of...
You know, so, like, it just drives me nuts. But at the same time, you would think this is simple logic enough for people to, you know, oh, why would I listen to this guy?
Exactly. You know, when the right-wingers always talk about the you know, they tell about, well, you know, what about the successful countries that are social, you know, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, et cetera. They go, well, it's a small country.
What about Canada right here on the north of the border?
There's less people there.
What about not, you talk about universal health care. There's Canada right here. And they'll draw an example and tell you, oh, yeah, we have Canadians actually come to Florida, actually dibble and dabble in our healthcare system. Yes, we have rich people everywhere all across the globe that choose to go to different places to get whatever they want. Just because a Canadian comes to Florida or New York to go shopping does not mean they don't have retail stores in Canada. You know what? Just because a British person comes to America to do for their shopping does not mean they don't have retail stores in Great Britain. It's simple logic. I mean, I don't understand how... And to talk about the healthcare, okay?
Yeah.
The healthcare system. Look, we have to make a choice. If you want a for-profit healthcare system, guess what? Your premiums are going to go up. So for those out there, for-profit, let me tell you what for-profit is. There's something called a P&L, where people actually look at every single year. I don't care how good your company runs. Your job is to make a profit at the bottom line. Okay? So regardless of how you do this year, maybe fiscal year 2018, 2019, your goal is to make more money than you made 2018. Guess where that's going to come from? It's going to come from you.
Exactly.
Okay? So for-profit healthcare system in the United States, your premiums are going to go up. So nothing anybody's going to do is going to stop that from happening. Except if you have an alternative healthcare system that actually competes with them and gives them a reason to actually lower the costs. But simple logic. Nobody wants to hear that, right?
Nobody.
Right.
No, they're all stuck in there and they're thinking like, you know, America's, you know, the only place that is the, you know, that everything is perfect. You know,
right.
I mean, they're so wrong. There's a lot of good things with this country, but they just don't want to have an open mind. Listen, real quick, though, I think Bernie Sanders would beat Donald Trump, and I think Joe Biden would beat Donald Trump. But I think Joe Biden might have a better chance because I think I agree with Bernie Sanders more. His idea is more. I'm more left, but Joe Biden is would be more of a, you know, people would. Wouldn't be as scared of his ideas and wouldn't be run off as much as Peter.
Well, you know why I'm skeptical about that and the fact that, you know what, I mean, there's no doubt someone like Bernie Sanders is for the people. He cares about the people. This is not something he wants to run just because of his ego or anything like that. The reason why is because he can be easily painted, and this president is going to say any and everything to demonize anybody he's running against. He has no filter.
Got it all. Don't he's already got, he is the classic guy to sit there and say that.
So,
be a communist.
So when you see someone like that standing on the debate stage, and when he calls Bernie Sanders a communist, when he says something like Democrats hate the Jews, when he says something like, you know, he will say those things. Do you see Bernie Sanders? What is the comeback? Now, I am pretty confident someone like Joe Biden. Now, I'm not saying I'm the biggest fan, but I'm just analyzing, you know, between the two. I think I'm pretty confident someone like Joe Biden, who's from Scranton, Pennsylvania, who's actually, he seems like somebody who could have a comeback and go, you know what, be quiet.
You know, very scrappy, yeah.
You know, one-on-one. I mean, that's just my thought when it comes to that. So
I would just hope he wouldn't go there and lose it and try to take a punch at him with
it. I've already threatened to fight before, so that's something.
Yeah, right there, threatened each other.
Well, I appreciate you, Danny. Thanks a lot, Danny.
Real quickly.
Yeah,
Lori Loughlin, what a shock that was.
I'm sorry?
Lori Loughlin.
Oh.
One of the ones, one of the actresses in the college.
The college scandal.
I mean, you know, I've seen her grow up, you know, on TV, and you know, I didn't watch Full House all that much, but I saw her in other shows. A very beautiful girl and very wholesome and clean cut. It seemed like, but
there's a such thing, right? When you have money. But yeah. Appreciate you, Danny. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yes. When it comes to the schools and the colleges and the bribery for college admissions and stuff, I mean, like, to me, I look at those names and I go, oh, so are you telling me that Donald Trump, who ran down a casino, is one of the most brilliant people that went to Wharton's School of Finance, and somehow he was smart enough to get in there? Or George W. Bush was one of the best students that was able to get into Yale University? Really? I mean, the names they came out with, I mean, like, I think those were rookies in the pay-for-play when it comes to college admissions. That's my thought when it comes to that. But, yeah, let's get the phone lines right now. So, we're moving the program a little bit. I told you about coming up, we're going to have a topic on immigration, and our special guest is going to be Jim Franco Melendez. And we're moving out to the Midpoint program. So, we're going to have that program on the Midpoint program. So, you want to stay tuned for it. It's going to be from 12 to 1. And he's actually in studio with me. He's ready to go. But, and the fact that we've gone like three quarters of the hour talking about something else. So in the Midpoint program, we're going to have that talk on immigration, DACA. He's going to take those questions. He knows everything when it comes to this. He's a brilliant man. So I'm excited about that. So let's get back on the phone lines right now. Let's go to Tony from Bradenton. Tony, good afternoon, Tony. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. How you guys doing?
What's up, bro? What's going on?
I didn't have a specific topic.
This is your last local radio, so you could call in and talk. Right?
I love it. Awesome, man. You guys are awesome. I was of 88.5, man. I've been listening to it for years.
Right.
Anyways, man, I kind of wanted a little bit of a kind of long story short, a little bit of a backstory.
Mm-hmm.
I find myself more, I mean, I don't really care for centrist labels, whatever. I think Donald Trump's a megalomaniac. I think it's crazy.
Okay.
But whenever I discuss, you know, issues with friends of mine that kind of are Trump voters and whatnot, right? You know, I think with the last caller, and I'm sure, you know, a couple other callers before, I think Bernie Sanders would be great. I mean, you know, I'm all for that. You know, who doesn't want free stuff? And I mean, I think everybody should be able to go and get school for free. Everybody should be able to go and get health care for free. I mean,
when you say it that way, it seems like for free. I mean, like, we're talking about tax dollars being allocated for, right?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. It's just the misinformation propaganda that the terms people like to use. Like, oh, it's just for free. I mean, you pay for it.
I apologize. But anyways, yeah, I guess when because I work, you know, we all work for a living. Anytime I try to bring up, you know, I'll pin that down, something like, you know, the democratic socialism, which I think is a great program. I think it would work wonders here. You know, I mean, we have the resources. Why not, right? My friends will always say, oh, well, you know, don't you work for a living? Like, aren't you a capitalist? And I'll say, well, yeah, but I mean, I'm not out buying yachts. You know what I mean? I'm not out buying helicopters. I mean, you know, if I had, I would give. You know, I guess my question is, like, how do I combat things like that? When somebody says, well, you know, you're basically a capitalist because you work and you take your money and you buy your own clothes and this and that. And I think, well, that's true. But I mean, again, I'm not in the 1%. I'm not a billionaire. You know, I'm not buying helicopters. I mean, if I could buy a helicopter, I probably wouldn't buy a helicopter. I'd buy, you know, I'd help charities and stuff like that. You know,
right.
My question is, like, how do I combat that? Or any of those issues, you know, things like that.
I mean, so far as you're not dealing with an ideologue, and the fact that there's nothing wrong with actually, you know, running your own business, making your own money, and doing good for yourself, it's especially in America, it's the American dream. I mean, that's what a lot of people, when if you're an immigrant, a legal immigrant, that's what you look for. And the fact
my parents are immigrants, man.
I think if you're not talking to ideologues and the fact that people actually run to their corners and just demonize the other side just because, you know, they don't want to identify with them. I mean, like, I think you can have a conversation with anybody and say, you know what, okay, I might be a Democrat, but there's some policies I actually disagree with, you know, or you might be a conservative and there might be some policies you disagree with. I don't think you should have any difficulty when it comes to that. But I mean, I'm pretty sure, like, there's some things that you agree with and there are things that you totally disagree with, and And you, it might be logical. It might be logical in a sense. So specifically,
I think maybe one of the only. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just gonna say maybe one of the only good things, and I hope it actually works out. And can't believe I'm actually saying it, but that Trump has done is criminal reform. I really hope that, you know, that actually works the way that we all want it to. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know the specifics, but I mean, criminal reform needs to happen. You know what I mean? Like it's.
Well, I think primarily what they're talking about is like a mandatory sentences that actually handcuffs the judges, you know, to make sure, okay, even for simple offenses, but if you have a mandatory sentence, you know, oh yeah, you ran, you have like a few ounces of marijuana or something, you got to do 3 years or something, things like that.
I think
that's, those are some of the things that they're working on. But the fact that there's more work to be done because generations have actually been destroyed because of these things.
Yeah,
so. And that's one thing about, speaking of Joe Biden, the fact that he actually signed on to the 1994 crime bill. I mean, there's something he has to answer to that when he actually jumps in the pool officially. So, hey, there's that. Do appreciate you. Thanks a lot, bro.
Tony. Keep it up, guys. Yeah. Listening. Thanks a lot.
So we have about 10 minutes left on this program, the Radioactivity Hour. Let's go to Brian from Spring Hill. Hey, Brian. Good afternoon, Brian. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. I'd like to address the issue of socialism, but before I do, I want to get a couple shots in on the Joe Biden age factor.
Uh-huh.
Remember, John Kennedy, at the age of 43, was an extremely sick man. He may not even made it to the age of 50 had he survived the assassination. You also had Obama, who was a chain smoker. You had Bill Clinton that had a major heart attack, 5 years, 10 years after his administration. So I think that if
okay, let me let you finish. Go ahead.
I think I made my point that age is not the deciding factor of the competency of a president.
I think the people that bring up the age issue is being able to identify with the times. Like, for instance, you could tell someone like Donald Trump, he's an old 72, 73, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
He thinks of the way things were in the past, right? Like in the 1950s, in the 1960s, where, I mean, the man went to Europe and talked about Europe is losing their culture because of immigration, stuff like that, you know? And mm-hmm. the way he doesn't see a progressive society as a plus, you know, the fact that, you know what, the fact that we have a multicultural ethos, it's a good thing. I mean, things like that. So, like, I think that's the connectivity. I mean, what people see, what the young people see in Bernie Sanders is he's not an old 78 or whatever, because he connects with the youth. He connects with, like, the fact of climate change. I mean, you have Donald Trump. I'm pretty sure the last time he took a science class was somewhere in the late 50s or 1960s, talking about making fun of climate change daily on Twitter, you know? I mean, so, like, I think that's what, I mean, not necessarily, you know, the look or the gray hair or anything, because, I mean, if you have an older person that is full of wisdom and is able to actually, you know, evolve with society and be progressive in society, I don't think people have a problem with that. I mean, because Bernie Sanders is probably the oldest out of all of them, and he seems to have the attention of the young people. So,
yeah. Well, even Bernie Sanders and all the other Democrats.
Right.
That are running, they're all under the capitalist system. I mean, you had an earlier caller talk about how, in many ways, we're very socialistic with all of our social programs.
But yeah, absolutely.
The governmental entitlements—they're not—they're not the actual transfer of ownership from private sector to the workers and to the community and the citizens. I mean, if we nationalized the election system, we would have public debates and we'd fund all of the elections for all the candidates.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be big money that would be controlling.
No, it would be strictly substance, right?
Huh?
I said it would be strictly substance. You will actually have to talk about and know what you're talking about. But, yeah. But thanks a lot, Brian. Appreciate you. That's Brian from Springfield. Let's go to Reggie. Let's go to Reggie from Tampa. Hey, Reggie. Good afternoon, Reggie.
Yes. Congratulations. Yes, I agree. We must be positive. That conversation earlier about Rob, that perhaps he didn't actually get fired. So there's no reason to be concerned that he probably will return. and you were discussing the Miami Herald. They were just about decades late in that report of that man.
Oh, were you talking about Jeffrey Epstein? I wasn't discussing him. It was a caller that actually brought him up. But,
Epstein. Mm-hmm. And he was reported to have been selling the children to one of the English princes in the 1990s. Let's not pretend that he's alone.
Well, we'll find out more.
An international ring. And although the case with Kraft may pale to this one, it will probably set the president to legalize prostitution.
Oh, come on. You think that's possible? But
it isn't possible, Nola. But man thinks that he can do it.
Well, he thinks he can do a whole lot of things. But I appreciate you, Reggie. No. Thanks a lot, Reggie. That's a little far-fetched. I don't think that's actually possible, but we'll wait and see. Let's go to Jack from Sarasota. Hey, Jack. Good afternoon, Jack. Welcome to the show. Hello? Jack, are you there?
Harry?
Yes. Are you there?
Okay.
Yeah.
I am here.
Yeah, okay. Your thoughts.
Okay. So I was just calling earlier. This caller that was having a hard time with the socialism vocabulary, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And the friends wanted to peg him to be a capitalist because he works for a living. Well, a true capitalist only wants to put capital where the capital can be most easily replicated. So if you think about that, I would mean in today's economy, you either invest in Apple Computer or Google or Amazon, or you really just to sort of skip the rest. Apple has a price-earnings ratio of like 11, but Florida Power and Light maybe have a price-earnings ratio of 13, 14. So a true capitalist would only make that first investment, and the lights wouldn't be on for the rest of Florida.
Interesting.
So there is a way to combine capitalism, the ability to make money, provide products and services, and yet still be compassionate and still have a way to think of the community.
I mean, I think just strictly being a capitalist society and being compassionate, I mean, I think the models go counterproductive to each other, because if one is just strictly by making profit.
They do. They require effort. I mean,
capitalism in itself, when you have a country's traded industry controlled by private owners for profit. I mean, like I just explained, like in the when you take a look at like a business, when you look at the P&L profits and loss report, the bottom line is to make profit. And regardless of how much profit you make this year, you don't say, oh, yeah, let's take a break the next fiscal year. And you know what? We made 100% over budget or whatever, over schedule or net profit. Let's only make 20%. No, that's not what they do. So, if a country's adopting a model to that, I mean, like.
Responsibility to the investors. But on the other hand, and I'm actually defending the principle of capitalism, but I'm saying it requires work from the community. And it requires people to make socially conscious investments, to understand where their money is working and why. And for the people that are, you know, true, quote, capitalists, I mean, that has been tried. We tried that early in our country. But a guy named Ben Franklin decided, you know what? Just having a private fire engine for my three properties doesn't really help if the next three properties catch on fire.
Imagine if in order to call 911, you better make sure you pull out your credit card. That would be
right.
A problem,
well,
don't you think?
Yeah, back then, there were private.
Well, I do appreciate you, Jack. Let me get one more call in. Thanks a lot. That's Jack from Sarasota. Let's go to Corrine. Corrine from St. Pete. Hey, Corrine. Good afternoon, Corrine. Give me about 30 seconds.
Good afternoon.
What's up?
Well, I've got a quick one for you, dear. Mm-hmm. It's Corrine, by the way. Anyway, I want people to remember that, you know, Trump, yes, he is an old 72. I'm 72. I protested the war. I was a radical in college, in high school. And, you know, we were the ones that started all of this.
Absolutely.
you know, where we stand up and talk our minds.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, don't throw us all under the bus.
Oh, no, no, that's not the case. That's why I make the distinction between Bernie Sanders and someone like Trump.
Oh, I love Bernie. Love Bernie. But he gets hot. He gets hot and red in the face. And you can't fight, I don't want to say Republicans because they're not all the same. But you can't fight those type of people by getting mad at them because they've always got a comeback.
Right.
The only thing you can do is say okay and move on.
All right.
I laugh. I just laugh because I refuse to get angry with
you. I appreciate you. Thanks a lot, Corinne.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, have a good day.
Thank
Love
you.
Everybody.
So that's Radioactivity. Coming up in the second hour, we have Gianfranco Melendez, immigration attorney, going to talk about immigration. Radioactivity, WMN Tampa. We'll be back.